This was actually our third trip to Poland, but our second pilgrimage. In 2013, I was assigned to Shrine of St. Anne in Arvada, Colorado. That was originally our home parish. And the pastor there was from Poland. His name was Father Piotr Mozdinewicz. Is anyone here who speaks Polish? Good. You won't know if I mispronounce something. Father Peter, as we lovingly call him, is a beautiful priest, a very holy man. And in 2015, he led a pilgrimage to France that Mary and I went on. And then in 2016, we went to Spain. In 2017, we went to Italy. In 2018, we went to Poland. In 2019, Portugal. In 2020, we were supposed to go to the Holy Land, but the pandemic postponed that until just last year, October, we went to the Holy Land. Mm-hmm. And then this year to Poland. And in fact, let me see here. Yes, it was last week, 3 minutes ago, that we landed back in Spokane. So I think we're adjusted to the time. Now, the third trip to Poland was actually last March in 2022, because when Father Peter was in Denver, I was with him for 8 years, and we always told him that he was going to celebrate Mass on our 50th anniversary. Well, just before we moved to Spokane in August of 21, he moved back to Poland. So last March, we went to Poland.
Oh,
and the fun thing was, when we went this year, at the end of the pilgrimage, we stayed a couple extra days in the same hotel that we stayed in last year, and the porter recognized us, and his name was Piotr also. And so we had a nice, fun conversation with him, and we said, this is our second home. And really, it did feel like we were back home again in a very special way. I can't tell you enough about how Poland is, so I'm just going to take you on a quick journey and try to describe it to you. Where are we here? If you take the map, that's the landscape mode. I think you all know what that is. And I'm going to skip Warsaw for just a moment and go over to Neopokalanov. That was Father Maximilian Kolbe's headquarters of operation. That's where his mission was. And from there he published his newsletter, The Immaculata, and which had thousands of subscribers. He was also in Japan for a while as a missionary in Nagasaki. And he had to build a church, and he selected a location for his church. And the people of Nagasaki said, no, Father, that's not a good place to build it. You should build it somewhere else. Well, he built it there anyway. Interestingly enough, after the atomic bomb was dropped on Nagasaki, it was one of the few buildings left standing, and it still stands today. I think you all know Father Maximilian Kolbe's story. We'll come back to him a little bit later. But we continued further west to, and this is really hard for me to pronounce, Lishen Story, something like that, Story. This is where the largest church in Poland is. And in fact, it is one of the largest churches in the world. And this church was dedicated to the Blessed Mother. Let me look at my notes here, because I don't remember things very well. Yes, the Cathedral of Our Lady of Sorrows. Now, this church came about in a rather interesting way. But for you to understand, I need to ask you a quick trivia question. If Warsaw, or Warszawa in Polish, is the largest city in Poland, can anyone tell me the second largest? I won't let you guess. It's Chicago. Truly, Chicago has the second largest Polish population, of all the cities in Poland. Warsaw is the only one larger. And this is important because this church, as huge as it is, was built without any debt. It was built without borrowing any money. It was paid for completely as it was built, and it was finished without any debt. And a lot of that money came from the United States. And in fact, other places we were at in Poland, we could see where contributions had come from the United States. Chicago has a very large Polish population. And I bring that up because it portrays a solidarity among the Polish people that goes beyond the solidarity that you know from Lech Wałęsa. Anyway, this church, as I said, it's very huge. It has five organs. The pews have, the sides of the pews have these, I wish I could, I didn't have time to put any pictures together, but it would bore you anyway. Travelogues bore me. A kind of curve like a wing. And they're to represent the wings of the Hussars. And these are fighters from Poland who, they didn't have wings, but they would move as if they had wings. So, how many of you are familiar with the Battle of Vienna? Or the Battle of Nations? You know. So you know who King Jan Sobieski is. Okay, in 1683, the Ottoman Turks were advancing westward, and they were at the walls of Vienna, besieging the walls of Vienna, and the King of Vienna asked for help throughout Europe. The one who responded was King Jan Sobieski from Poland, who came down with his hussars, and in one day, he and other troops had the Turks running back to Turkey. If not for him, there were others involved. There were German troops involved. There were some Austrian troops involved. But he was the leader. And if not for him, we might all be speaking Arabic today. We might all be worshiping in a mosque on Friday instead of church on Sunday. That's how important this battle is. And throughout Poland, you can see references to King Jan Sobieski. Now, I told you the year. I didn't tell you the date. He arrived in Vienna September 11th. And on September 12th, he and the troops had the Turks running back to Turkey. I've always wondered if the Muslims remembered something that we have forgotten 23 years ago or 22 years ago. Anyway, there's more to that church, but we don't have time. Going further west to the left, you get to Gniezno. Some of these words are hard to say. Gniezno was at one time the capital of Poland, and it is where Poland was baptized. Now, what do I mean by that? The Polish people know what that means. But in the year 966, Duke Miesz I and his court were baptized into the Catholic faith. And from that point, other people started becoming Catholic, and there would be other saints to help in this missionary effort of converting Poland to Catholicism. But they looked to that date as the baptism of Poland, because the Duke and his court were baptized, and from there, Catholicism spread throughout Poland. In Poznan, there was an interesting Eucharistic miracle in 1399. These three men convinced someone to bring to them three consecrated hosts that they wanted to desecrate. And so they took them back home, and they wanted to stab them with a knife to see if they bled. Well, they did bleed, much to their surprise. Not only that, but the host began to rise off the table, and these three men became terrified at what was happening. They took the host to a swamp and tried to bury them in the swamp, but the host rose, and rays of lights shone from these hosts. And someone that these three men ran off, someone was able to rescue the host. That's a poor word, but that's the only one I can think of. And they are kept today in the cathedral in Poznan. And in the cathedral, up above the altar, there are three white hosts that represent the Trinity. And so you can see this symbol. But there is another interesting thing. In the center aisle, there is a kind of a sculpture about this big around, and it's almost like a little cave. You bend down and look inside, and there are three little men, and there's a white circle in the center, and they have knives, and it depicts what they were trying to do to the host. Everywhere we go in Poland, there is something miraculous, there is something holy, there is something very Catholic. And going further down to Kalisz is something that I think you can all relate to. In 1670, a man was paralyzed, and he prayed to Saint Joseph that he be taken, that he die, so that his suffering would end. Instead, he was cured. And Saint Joseph appeared to him and promised him that he would be cured, but he had to have a painting commissioned in remembrance of this. And so this man had a painting commissioned that depicts to the whole, that depicts the Holy Family, and below is the inscription, "Go to Joseph." Now, I don't have the painting here to show you, but it has some specific things in it that are very special to Saint Joseph. Miracles started to happen. And by the way, any place you go in Poland, and this is Italy too, where miracles are happening, you will see medals hanging, all sorts of medals, rosaries. These are all commemorations of miracles that have happened. People have a cure, something miraculous happens. And they give a medal or something, some kind of token of remembrance to put up on the wall beside there. So, there were over 600 miracles attributed to this shrine in the following years. The latest one was just a year ago to one of the custodians. The theme of the painting is fatherhood. And Saint Joseph is holding a white lily, which depicts his virginal fatherhood. Now, fast forward. Let me see if I can do this. Have any of you been to Dachau in Germany? Okay. Dachau is another prison camp during World War II. I think you know about it. There were, okay, where's my, sorry for being a little disorganized. There was so much trying to get this all together. Okay, in Dachau, 30,000 people died. 3,000 were clergy. 1,800 of them were Polish priests. In 1941, they built a chapel to say Mass. After 3 months, there were only German priests left. They would smuggle the Eucharist into others, and at the same time, they began a devotion to Saint Joseph, because before the Polish priests died, they remembered this special shrine in Kalisz, and they would start a devotion to Saint Joseph, praying for their protection. In April, and that was in April 1945 when they began that devotion. In April 22nd, the priests consecrate themselves to Saint Joseph. At this time, the Allied forces are advancing. Hitler decides to destroy the camp and decides to evacuate Dachau and kill everyone that is in there, that is left in there. On April 29th, the SS set fire to the camp. In 2 hours before they could follow through on their plan to kill everyone, the Americans came in and liberated the camp. And they attribute that to the miracle of St. Joseph. And from that point, the devotion to St. Joseph spread. Okay, going further down to Wrocław, because, you know, our pastor speaks Polish. Obviously, he's from Poland. So our guide spoke Polish, English, and Greek. And she spoke English very well, by the way. Our bus driver spoke Polish and just a little bit of English. And so at times, they would be talking to each other when we were driving along. I don't know what they were discussing. But at one point, I said, you know, you can't speak this language without a mouthful of food, because it's all shh, shh, shh. And our guide says, yeah, it's like taking sandpaper and rubbing it in your hands, because so many of the words have that shh sound in it, and that's what it sounds like. Anyway, I'm trying to remember. In Wrocław, well, we will move on. Going further on down, at the bottom of the page is Krakow, and if you turn the page over, you'll see a portrait orientation of the map around Krakow, or Krakow, as they say in Poland. From there, there are several places around Krakow that are of significance. To the left, you can see the memorial and museum to Auschwitz and Birkenau. And I have written in the name Oświęcim. That is the original Polish name of the town. When the Germans occupied Poland, they changed it to Auschwitz. The Polish have since turned it back to Oświęcim, and they leave Auschwitz as the name of the death camp. And by the way, the tour guides were very specific to point out to us that it was a death camp, not a concentration camp. People were taken there to be killed. And have any of you ever been there? Okay. Picture, if you will, this wall over here extending from all the way, as far as you can see, all the way down, a glass wall, a ceiling 10 feet high, and behind that glass, a room about 12 feet deep. And now try to picture that room with piles of hair. We were not allowed to take pictures in that room. That's one of the two places in Auschwitz that we could not take pictures, because it contains human body parts. The Germans would shave their heads and sell the hair. Save it and sell it. In another room just like that, we could see shoes. Piles and piles and piles of shoes, this high. In another room, suitcases. And on so many of these suitcases, you could see names. Because when the people arrived at Auschwitz, first of all, they were brought there in cattle cars on trains with no facilities. So it's hard to imagine this, but they were packed in these cars, and when they had to relieve themselves, they had to do so wherever they were standing. You can imagine the stench of the cars. You can imagine how dirty the people were. So when they arrived, they were told the first thing they had to do was have showers. They would take their clothes off. They were told to mark their suitcases so they could be returned afterwards. And they were led naked to the showers, where a gas was dropped in through vents. And they were killed in 20 minutes. And then taken next door to the crematorium, where the gold was lifted from their teeth, jewelry, head shaved, and then they were cremated. To say it was sobering is an understatement. The Below Auschwitz, you see the town Wadowice. That is Pope John Paul II's birthplace and hometown. And I'll pass this around. When you receive this, you'll see a yellow building in the picture, in the middle of the picture. That is the Museum to John Paul II. In the upstairs is the house where he and his family lived. And the church to the left is the church where he was baptized. In Wadowice, when he visited there, he had some cake. And he made the comment, oh, this is my favorite cake. Well, now everyone calls Kremovka the Pope's cake. And so if you go to Wadowice, you go to a bakery and you can have a piece of Kremovka, which is a thick cream-filled cake that is delicious. Further south is Kalvaria. Kalvaria is Calvary in Polish. And what they have done is they have constructed, in a sense, a Via Dolorosa on the hillside with stations. And it is, there's a walk between each station, and it's on a hillside, so it's not an easy walk. When you make the stations there, you actually feel some pain. We weren't able to do it this time because of the weather. It was a little bit moist, and the ground was a little muddy, and so we couldn't do it. But when Mary and I were there a year ago, Father Peter took us there, and we walked through these stations, and it is quite an experience. Further down below is Nowy Targ. That is where Father Peter's family is from. That's where his mom and dad still live. His brother is a priest also who was in London, but has just moved back to Poland. And he is nearby in another town called Orawka at an old wooden church. His sister lives in the town. We've met his parents a few different times. And this time we were able to enjoy celebrating Mass in his home parish, where he served as an altar boy. For us as pilgrims, that was very special. Luchmierz is another place where there's a shrine to the Blessed Mother. I'm not going to go into that because we don't have time. Further south, Zakopane is really the Vale of Poland. It's kind of a ski, it's a resort. Not necessarily a ski resort, but a resort, an expensive place. But there, and on May 13th, 1981, the pastor of the church there made a vow to the Blessed Mother that if she would save John Paul II, May 13th, 1981 was the day he was shot in St. Peter's Square. And the priest got down on his knees and said, if you will save him, I will build you a church. And so he did. This beautiful church, Our Lady of Fatima. And in there, there are many different, what do I want to say? I can't think of the word. Anyway, remembrances of John Paul II, his coat of arms, things like that, but also the Stations of the Cross. On the fifth station, instead of Simon of Cyrene helping Jesus to carry the cross, they placed John Paul II. On the 12th station, instead of the Blessed Mother and St. John at the foot of the cross, they place St. John Paul in the place of St. John. So this was another shrine, another special place. If you go to the top of the page, you'll see Częstochowa. This is the shrine of Poland. Our Lady of Częstochowa is the patron saint of Poland. And there is a, so at